Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, this week at VBS, we were really focused in on how God keeps his promises, how he's with us through the storms, through the clouds, through the darkness of life, and how he ultimately keeps his promise of salvation for you and I. We see that very promise of salvation in our gospel reading today. Although I have been going through our epistle lessons, today the gospel reading applies so well for our lives as Christians, so well for our lives as community here in Mattoon, that I think it's something that we need to hear again. I even backed this reading up so that we'd have a full idea of what's going on here in Luke chapter 14. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus is invited to a party. But not just any party, a big party, a party that's run by one of the chief Pharisees at the time, somebody who has money, who has wealth, has prestige and power. Now, real quick, how many of you watched the royal wedding just a few weeks ago? All right? I will fully admit, I did not. I did live in England for some time and all those good things, but I find it kind of weird that we as Americans get so caught up in royalty. Well, after the whole revolution type thing. But anyway, the party was a big party. There were people that were trying to crash the private party of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. They were attempting to get in and see. And there were actually some videos that came out of that. And they were quickly kind of pushed under the rug. Nobody was allowed to kind of see what was going on behind the scenes. To have a ticket to be on the guest list to this party was a big deal. There was going to be the rich and the powerful and the famous. There was going to be the nobles. There was going to be the elite of the elite. Everybody wanted to be part of it. That's almost, maybe not to that degree, but that's almost what Jesus is invited into. He gets to go into one of these great parties that man throws for itself. To celebrate, to eat, to drink, to be merry, to talk about all the things that go on in life. We like to do those things, right? And Jesus, as his normal MO is, he goes. But he goes to a party that probably doesn't really realize what it's getting itself into. You imagine if Jesus was invited to Harry and Meghan's wedding, it'd be kind of interesting to see how they would actually respond to Jesus as he goes about critiquing everything that's going on in the wedding. But despite all that, let's focus in on what it says in Luke chapter 14, verse 12. He said also to the man who had invited him, this is Jesus, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, unless they also invite you in return and be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Now, this isn't saying that Jesus doesn't want you to ever celebrate with friends. But as Jesus is always focused out on other people, especially the least, the lost, the lonely, the forsaken, Jesus also points his church towards those same people, the broken, those who are least in the world, those who are the smallest, the littlest, including our children, and the aged and the decrepit. Those who are lonely and broken by the world. This is the church's mission, is to be for them. And so Jesus goes ahead and kind of blows the lid off of this party and says, you're inviting the wrong people. You're seeking the wrong things in your parties. You're seeking the wrong things in your life. Not that you can't have a nice time with your family and friends, but the Christian is always about the other person. Now, at the very end, he mentions the resurrection of the just. And it's that part that a man hears and seems to agree with the most. So take note. Verse 15. When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." It's as if he said, "Well, wow, that whole inviting the poor and the crippled and the lame and all that, that's kind of maybe a little bit above my pay grade, but you mentioned the resurrection of the just, and I'm on board with you. I'm so glad everything's going to work out in the end. I'm a pretty just person. I mean, look, I'm a Pharisee. I'm a keeper of the law. I go to church. I give my money to church. I go to the voters' meeting. I help out at Vacation Bible School. I help out with Sunday school. I do everything that I'm supposed to do. I'm a card-carrying member of the church. I know about the resurrection of the just. And so then Jesus says to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. Now this is the great part. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. She's going to be mad after all. Notice all these worldly excuses for why they won't go party with the Savior of all. Maybe it's because they know that he's going to fill his house and maybe it's going to be a little crowded. Maybe with a few people that you don't like. But they all make business ventures that can easily be avoided. They have the complete chance to go to the party, and yet their excuses all center around themselves. The first buys a field and he has to go see it. You can see a field at any time in life. But he's so intent on his riches and his wealth that he will get from that field, from that business adventure, and succeeding in that business adventure, that he is going to skip the party that the master of all creation is going to throw. He is so intent that he is going to succeed in life that he loses everything. Because his focus is on himself, on winning, on being the best. The other guy, he says that he has, the other guy says, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, I go to examine them. He's also intent on winning, on being the best, on making sure he's done the right moves in the right places, that he's done everything the right way. He's more intent on looking after his own wealth, his own stuff, than anything else. And so he also denies what's going on. He denies the feast. He denies the invitation. But this is where it also gets interesting, because the next guy isn't so much worried about business ventures or anything like that. He's not worried about his farm. He's not worried about his oxen enterprise. He's not worried about his sales or any of these type of things. He just got married. That's a good thing. Just had a wedding this past Saturday here at St. John's. Great thing to do. Great thing for young people to get married, to commit their lives to each other before God. But just like anything else, those things in life, like marriage, our kids, our business, our wealth, our money can get in the way of salvation when it becomes the main thing. So intent is this guy on pleasing his wife, on being everything for her, that he forgets. He forgets that the party is just as much for him as it is for her, and it all breaks down. We do that a lot in our families. We forget sometimes that the party is for everyone, especially those who are closest to us. And Jesus makes this point that all of them, when they come back, the master is very angry because they've all chose to try to win on their own accord. The master wants to give a free party. He wants everybody to come. Grace has been won. And yet nobody wants to party back with him. And so he says, go out in the streets and the lanes of the city. Go invite the cripples, the beggars. Go invite those lowlifes, those least, the lost, the little, who have nothing to give, who have nothing to earn in life. Well, listen to me instead, because I have more to give them than their wealth can ever generate in their life. Go find the lost and the broken, the downhearted, the downtrodden, because I have something that is out of this world good for them. And they come. They know a good deal when they see it. They know they can't win. They can't earn it. They know they have no right to have some sort of invitation to such a great party. They never even thought of themselves to be on the guest list. And yet Jesus freely gives that guest list over to his Father and says, look, I have paid it all for even these low lives, these lost and broken brothers and sisters. And even then, there's still room in the party. And the master sends again and says, go, get them all. Go as far as you can, as far as wide. I am going to fill my house and I don't care who's here. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's the gospel message for your life. I don't care how lonely you are, how broken you are, how downtrodden you are. I don't care where you've been or where you've come from. Jesus Christ has a greater blessing than anything that our lives here on earth can generate for us. You will never find success at the end of the most successful type careers monetary-wise. You're never going to find success in the way that your kids behave or don't behave, or the way that in which you love your wife or don't love them. You're never going to find success in the ways of this world. Power is always fleeting, money's always coming and going, and there's always more that you can have, and you will be chasing the wind your entire life. And yet, there is a gift. That although we were rebels before God, although we have nothing to give Him, He invites us to have it all. All that the Father has, every bit of it, every big piece of food from His table to the smallest, measliest scrap from His table, everything belongs to you because of Jesus, who has shed His blood for you and poured it out on you, and in the waters of holy baptism it is yours. As the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is poured out on you, and you are born again in Him from above. You have a Father that's out of this world and who has more blessings than we could possibly imagine. Yes, this life will be tough, it'll be hard, and yet we are called to love those who are the littlest, the least, the lost, and the broken. In case you missed that at the very beginning, God's not content just to have the best of the best. And there's a whole world outside these walls that are not here with us this day. There could be a lot of reasons they're not with us this day. Maybe it's because they don't know. Maybe it's because they're angry. Maybe it's because they just think that St. John's is just a country club for certain people, and that's not the impression that we wish to give. This is a place for sinners. It's a place for sinners to receive and taste and see what Jesus has done for them. That's the message of God keeping His promises. That's the message that 119 plus kids got to hear this week in VBS. That's the message of the gospel itself for you. But it's not just for you, as I've been preaching week in and week out. It's for everybody else as well. So go bring them here. Let them hear the gospel. Tell them the gospel. Show them. Make a difference in somebody's life with that very message that proclaims you invited to the feast above all feasts. Amen.